On yet?
Okay. We're going to be talking today about Old Testament instances, that's chapter 2, Old Testament instances of rebellion. Now, we're going to see where this thing began in the book of Genesis. Everything always began in the book of beginning. We call it the book of beginning. And we're going to see exactly what transpired with Adam and Eve in the garden, why they fell, what caused them to fail, who caused them to fail, to fall. And the whole idea of this lesson is, how are we not to fall? It's one thing seeing the reading in the Bible, but it's another thing knowing that the whole reason behind this is I don't want to do likewise. I don't want the spirit of rebellion to cause me to falter when I'm working in another man's ministry, or if God had called me off to do something that he wants me to do individually. But remember, anytime you're under authority, or anytime you're in authority, you're always under authority. God's not going to put you in authority unless you're always under authority. It's a check and balance. And what it also does is keep you in the spirit of submission. And it keep you under this word apostle teaches all the time, government. Everybody say government. Government. All right. And that's a word that's going to be used throughout this year, government. This apostolic always deal with government. Now, turn your Bible to Genesis 2 and verses 16 and 17. We're going to read those verses, and we're going to pull some key points out of this verse to show you exactly what happened in the garden. Are you ready? Now, there's a word I define. I want you to get a hold of it because it's going to bring some light on the lesson. It says, and God, and Jehovah God, I'm reading out another translation. It's not very different, but it's the one that Watchman Nee used in the book. I just used it because it helped me to see what's going on better. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, if you look at that next verse, you'll see that God hadn't even formed Eve yet. So Eve was not present when God gave this command. Now God knows what God can do. God have a right to order and to command. Some people don't like that word command because they don't want to feel like they're being ruled. Command is like you rule. Well, God can rule. Matter of fact, he's the ruler and the super ruler. He's the super ruler. So God have a right to rule us. Now, if we don't like that word rule, somebody ruling me, because if you like to take all authority from you and you have no voice or no thought or will of your own, well, that the part of us has to die. Our will. And that would cause Eve to fall and cause Adam to fall, the principle, the instantaneous principle of self-will. Don't forget that word. Self-will is a instantaneous principle that causes all of us to error in rebellion. Why? Because we don't want to release our will to follow God's will. And the thing is that human beings, it's a part of this world makeup. Self-will. And so when we come to Christ, Apostle Paul said better than anybody I can say it. He said, the life I now live, you know, when he gave up his life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. In other words, when I came to Christ, I lost my life. Jesus, he that loses life, shall what? Find it. So Christianity is swapping his life, my life, for his life. So it's no longer I that live it. That was Apostle Paul was trying to get over to the church. It's no longer I that live it. You see it? But who live it? But Christ liveth in me. So if Christ living in me, then I don't have my own will because I permissively gave it to him. I gave God my life. And my life includes my will. And really, I can't do what I want to do. Paul called himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prisoners? Anybody who went to the prison? These guys are on lockdown. They can't do what they want to do. They can't. They have no say so. They go to bed when you tell you to go to bed. They eat when you tell you to eat. You get up when they're under total control. But it's not willingly. I guarantee you, nobody said, oh, I like to. You go to prison, ask them if they like to be in prison. No, they lost their will. But it's forcefully. And if you don't do what they say, they carry a big stick. And they'll beat you inside the head and force you to submit. Prison is the breaking away of your own will. You talk to some ex-con that got out off parole or spent some time in prison. One man, and he told me that he forgot what it was to be human. I said, whoa. They broke all the humanness out of him. See, and that's why some of them come to Christ. Because they get so broken, that's nothing left but Christ. Yeah, I took it with a horse. Yeah. Now, watch this now. Listen to the definition of the word command. Command means to give someone an order. This is what God did to Adam. To give someone an order. You don't have to write all the definition down, but just make sure you know it. It's a long definition. And I'm not going to try to test you on this long definition. That would be unjust. To give someone an order, to tell someone to do something, listen to this, in a forceful and often official way. A forceful way. So God spoke forcefully to Adam. He made this a divine order that you should never forget. You see it? And so with that point of him being commanded, why do you think he permitted himself to disobey God? Strong like God spoke. I remember my dad spoke one time. And we grew up with such reverence for our dad, you almost had a little fear of him. You had some fear of him. My mom said, oh, I'm going to tell your dad when he come in from work. That was it. Because I know judgment was coming. And so my point was, he commanded us. He didn't ask us to do something. When you get up, you want to feed the hogs? We had hogs when we grew up. No. He told us to feed the hogs and to feed the chickens and to pluck the okra. And whatever else we do. Children don't work today. Well, that's not my point, but it's truth anyway. You don't do anything. Don't do anything. You better order your children to do something because they'll never grow up as responsible adults. I don't know why I'm over here, but they don't even know how to change the tire. Young men don't know how to change the tire in the car. I don't know how I got over there. It's true. But we were commanded. Now, watch this now. Your daddy commanded too. I know your dad. Okay. Now, here's one of the questions that or statement you need to know. Listen at this. Adam and Eve received their first governing rule. You see, when God said of the tree which in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat, you know, when you eat it, I'm paraphrasing, you shall surely die. That was man's first governing rule. God put him in the garden. But God gave him a rule. Why? Why did God give him a rule? Because, listen to this, because rules reveals rebellion as well as obedience. Think about that now. Rules reveal rebellion as well as obedience. Now, you don't know if you're rebellious or not until you give them the rule. People don't like rules on their job. Honestly, they fight against the rules. Oh, you can't do this now. You can't do that now. You can't do this. And they take away, but that's rules. That's more rebellious people on their job than anybody, more than you can shake a stick at. You know why? Because they don't look at their job as representing God. They don't look at authority as being a representative of God. All authority comes from God, but they all represent, save or not save, it's authority. And all authority is meant to be obeyed until they cross the line where you have to make a decision to obey God or men. Until you come to the line where it has something to do with your integrity of pleasing God, your honor to God. But they give a rule, you're supposed to follow it. And guess what? God gonna honor their rule and list it, put it on his list of your rebelliousness. You see it? When your supervisor tell you to do something, do you do it in the spirit of willingness? Or you do it grudgingly? See, all that comes under this authority. We think it's just for the church. No. Paul talked about it in Romans 13. All the talk about civil authorities. All authority belong to God, he said. Civil or spiritual. They're all meant to be obeyed. Because it's part of government. So sometimes people say, I'm not rebellious, and we violate it every day. I'm not rebellious. I just cuss my balls out because you made me mad. But what is it? And sometimes you wonder why you're not getting that promotion. God says, I can't give it to you because your heart's not right in this matter. You're not submitted. You're not submitted. And it's just not just for the church. The world system is governed by authority, and we're supposed to submit to all authority until they cross the line. You with me? Until they cross the line. And your spirit and the spirit of God will let you know when they cross the line. Say, no, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. They wanted me to lie one time on my job. I said, I do what you tell me to do, but I can't lie for you, for the company. I'm not going to lie for the company. Get somebody else to do it. You see, they crossed the line. And I had to speak up. I had to speak up. You see? So God gave Adam and Eve, their first governing rules reveal rebellion. See, how you know if your children are rebellious or not? My dad used to tell us, my mom used to tell us more than my dad, y'all come in before it gets dark. I mean, when the sun go down, we could be playing in one of the hottest basketball games. Oh, man, it's getting dark. And you got to go. Why? Because that's the rule they give us. And if we didn't come in before we were dark, we receive a due punishment. I don't know what to do with children today. And you wonder why they're still rebellious. And you wonder why. And you know the worst thing? See, this all just had to do with my lesson. It's to see a child in the store with a parent and the child grabbing something, a toy off the shelf, and the parent can't control him in the store. When I grew up, when you go in that store, you better not touch nothing. Or it's going to be you and me. What was that? That was a rule. And they backed up their rule. You see what I'm saying? with due punishment. So what my point is, all rebellion is followed by punishment. Yeah. That was the reward of rebellion. If you, we're going to get to it in the Old Testament. God always judged rebellion. And what is rebellion? Disobedience against authority. So if you don't make correction, then people won't know what obedience is. Are you with me? We couldn't go to someone's house. You want to eat? They look at us. No, you don't want to eat. That's the way we were raised. You see? But what's my point? Parenting is an authority that God gives us to govern us, to put that spirit of obedience in us, and as we grow older, we already got a head start. You see? You see? And I can tell a rebellious child just by looking at him. We couldn't answer back. Well, I remember my son when Ronnie, when he was little. My dad do this all the time. I keep referring to my dad because he was an example of authority in my home. We didn't grow up without authority. We knew it was authority. And I watched him closely. And when my son was growing up, he answered his mommy in one of the flippest way I never heard. I didn't completely come out of his mouth. And before I knew it, I grabbed him and I pushed him against the wall with a force. I said, "You want to be a man, I'm going to treat you like a man." Boy, he got checked real quick. Never had a problem with him after that. You don't do that no more. Children say what they want to their parents. I'm telling the whole truth. Because there's no fear of authority in the house. You see it? See, this is a good time to people need to train their children with authority. You see it? And they got this law, but don't whip your kids. Man. I ain't even get on that. Parent, you better put some on your children. I ain't talking about killing them. They used to make us go get the steak. Y'all, it's the truth. I grew up old school. You better not bring a little one back either. I'm telling the truth. So the world system has gotten so modernized that children are equal with the parents now. And if you don't watch it, as they grow up, that spirit will come within the church. And so if they're not listening to authority at home, when they get to the church, they're not listening to authority. They're not going to listen to apostles. They're not going to listen to anything. I'm showing you how it starts. Train up a child when you're young. Probably talk about it. So when you grow old, he won't depart. It's a principle. You don't train them when they're young. When they get old, my mother-in-law, while I'm on the point of parenting, my mother-in-law, she's going to be with the Lord. And my son, this is my son again. My son was just started walking. And I'm so proud of that boy walking, you know. About 7 months, he walked at 7 months old. He was so short, he had to walk underneath the kitchen table. We're looking for him, he didn't walk under the kitchen table. But he bought a little coffee table in the living room. And we were so proud. My mother-in-law was sitting at the dining room. And he was playing with you know how you put the little ceramic stuff on the coffee table? Well, every time he touched one, we would move it. And my mother-in-law saw us kept moving that. She said, "Put that back. Don't move another thing off that table." I said, "This woman trying to take over my home?" I got a little frustrated. She said, "Slap his hand." Boy, 7 months. "Slap his hand. He needs to know he can't be picking up stuff and touching stuff." I didn't understand what she was saying at the time. But just to appease her, I slapped his hand. "Don't touch that." But really, I didn't want to slap his hand. That's my baby. But I understood what she was doing. She was helping us put the first rule down of obedience. And our word was, that means no. Became a household word for him because you know that meant no, don't touch. No, don't touch. And so that was his first law of obedience, and it came by punishment. We slapped his little hand, and she said, they ain't gonna hurt him, they ain't gonna kill him. But I got to think about it later on. That set a perimeter in that boy's life. What it did, it helped him to learn. Jesus learned obedience in Hebrews through the things he suffered. Jesus had to learn obedience. The Bible said through the things he suffered. So sometimes the lesson of obedience is learned through a little suffering. God only chastises those whom he loves. We don't understand. God not going to chastise us just to have fun. No, he's trying to correct us and bring us to a position where we can be useful to him. God wants you useful. When he said go left, he ain't got time to hear you arguing why I got to go left. No, you just go left. Your apostle said, take these cards. I'm back on the apostolic card. Take these cards, man. That's part of the assignment of what God is doing. And we, the reason we can't get our stuff because we ain't seeking the kingdom first. What's that? Well, that he's given us an order and a command to obey God. And if people arguing with that, it means they haven't fully submitted to what the Spirit of God is trying to do. They're rebelling in their own little way. You know how they're rebelling? By passing by the cards. I ain't got time for that. I ain't got no time for no cards. Ain't nobody won't take them call. Ain't nobody won't come. And he's speaking this rebellious word. And hear what I say? Nobody won't come. You're putting that into the atmosphere. Nobody wants to come. I gave two people a call. Nobody showed up. Well, give the third one. And the fourth one. And the fifth one. And keep doing what God said. Finally, you're going to give no faith that this thing works. You see? It works. I invited a man Sunday. Him and his whole family. He said, now I'm coming, but I don't want to tell you when I'm coming. You know, they put it on, I don't want to tell you when. I don't want to make a promise. Like he go with that old yang stuff, you know. I can't keep. I said, man, you just come. Come, and your life will never be the same again. And that's all you can do. Remember I told you about the horse and trying to make him drink? Can't make a horse drink. Can't make him. So that was the first rule and the first correction that God gave man. And you're going to see it didn't go down too good because the whole race fell because of what Adam did. Now let's go on a little bit. And I see I'm not going to get too far in this lesson at all. Now, the next verse, 17th verse there. Now the serpent was more subtle. Let me tell you what subtle means. I define the word subtle. And this is how Satan works. The Satan do not want you to obey, and he used the underlying little tactics to get you not to obey. These little conniving ways that he get in our minds and deceive us with his words. Why? Let's look at the word subtle. Listen. Subtle means Satan was more subtle. Hard to notice or see. That's subtle. Not obvious. Clever and indirect. That's how sneaky Satan is. Not showing your real purpose. That makes sense, huh? That's what Satan was doing. He wasn't showing his real purpose. Having or showing skill at recognizing and understanding things that are not obvious. Satan has skill in helping us recognize and understand things that are not obvious. In other words, he throw a rock, as the most folks say, and hide his hand. You see, like a magician. He make it look at something else, but he don't, and he's doing something. Looking at one hand and not seeing the other hand. That's how a magician fools you. But Satan is subtle. He's clever. You see it? And that's how he beguiled Adam and Eve, with crafty words. And he got into the mind and got him to begin to, he wanted to get you to begin to reason. And when you get into your reasonable faculties, he got you thinking, well, maybe this ain't all that bad. You see? That's how you get people into sin. You see? Get your reasoning and make it look like it's not really sin. You know, not really disobedience. You know? And so he's tricking like that. Now watch this. He's more subtle than any beast in the field. He's more subtle than any beast in the field, which Jehovah God had made. He said to the woman, yeah, had God said you should not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto him, unto the serpent, of the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you should not eat of it, neither should you touch it, lest you die. And listen to what the serpent said. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God do know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now here's my point I want you to understand. Do not allow Satan to interpret scriptures for you. Satan took the scripture and tried to give you a false evidence of the truth. I know that makes sense. He falsified the truth. He took part of the truth and he twisted it to make it sound like scripture, but it really wasn't scripture. If you take from the scripture, it's not scripture anymore. That's why the Bible says don't add to it or take away from it. You take one word out of it, then it's no longer scripture. It's not God's scripture. You see it? It becomes Satan's scripture. I mean, no more fool to quote stuff. I thought I was to be Bible. I had to look for certain things. And I said, this ain't the Bible. I mean, it had some Bible backing to it, but I could never find it in scripture text. You see it? But Satan, that's his craftiness. And believe it or not, the wiser you are intellectually, the easier for him to fool you. You know why? Because you got a lot of sense knowledge. And that's what Satan functions in the sense realm, and wants to get a person in the sense realm to get the reasoning, then he got you. And he got Eve to reason. Why? Why do? Now here's what Satan did. Here are three things that Satan used to deceive Eve. Three things. Here's number one. Three errors Eve made. The first error she made, Eve's action, however, was not governed by obedience. It was initiated by her own will. It wasn't governed by obedience. Her action was initiated by her own will. The second she did was, she was not subject to God's order, nor did she obey God's authority. She was not subject to God's order, No, did she obey God's authority? What was God's order? Adam was her authority, and Eve was supposed to be submitted to Adam. And she didn't either. You see it? And the third thing is, she instead made up her own mind, and she rebelled against God and fell. Now, let me back up a little bit. After God created Adam, he gave Eve a few charges. He gave Adam and Eve a few charges. And among these was the order not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The crux or the purpose of this charge was more than forbidden to eat a certain fruit. Rather, it was God putting Adam under authority that he might learn obedience. You put what? Under authority to learn obedience. On the other hand, God placed all the created things on the earth under the authority of Adam that he might have dominion over them. But on the other hand, God placed Adam himself under his authority that Adam might obey authority. You cannot be in authority unless you're under authority. According to the order of God's creation, God made Adam before he made Eve. He put Adam in authority and Eve under Adam's authority. He set these two, the one as the authority and the other to be in subjection. In both the old and new creation, this order of priority is the basis of authority. That's why Eve failed twice. You see, she failed twice because she failed to honor God's order and she failed to submit unto delegate authority. That's the word you're going to be hearing later on in the next couple of chapters, this word called delegate authority. And a point that I must make right here in case I forget is that when you rebel against delegate authority, you rebel against God himself, mm-hmm. because God is all authority. Sometimes people think they got to deal with God directly. You never deal with God directly. You deal with God always through a delegation of authority. You see it? God did that on a purpose. He did that for a purpose, for a reason that you always can be under submission to someone. Wapner Nee made a statement. He said, wherever you go, always find out who's in authority that you might obey. See, I carried that for years. Always find out who's in authority that you may obey. You know, because sometimes I, you know, when the apostles send us to different churches, you know, we go to funerals and sometimes visit sick, and especially when you go into a pastor's church, I want to find out who's in authority. Or even if I'm called to preach as another pastor invite me on the permission of the apostle. You heard I say that? Apostle released me to go. And I would give that pastor anything that you don't want me to say. You know, what are you saying? I'm respecting his authority. He might be dealing with something particular and on a subject that he's dealing with, and only a pastor needs to deal with it. Your job is not to go destroy, but to help build. Are you with me? So you have to be subject to his authority when you go. You just can't go do what you want to do in another man's church. He got to be able to trust you in his pulpit. Whenever I teach, and the apostle permitted me to teach in church, my job is not to bring out new revelation on my own. My job is only to support, edify what he's already brought up. Am I making sense? My job become a help and not a hindrance. You see it? Never try to do your own thing. Then you be like Nadab and Abihu. That's Aaron's two sons. That's another chapter in here. They offer, what's it called? Strange fire. Strange fire is, is offering something you wasn't commanded to do or had no authority to do. Doing something you never had authority to do. Because a good idea is not a God, it's not God's idea. Some people try and bring their good ideas into the church. And sometimes they disobey authority and don't know it. You see? So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. And so the key to it is always stay submitted. Always stay submitted. All right? Now, listen to this. Her eating the fruit did not come out of her subjection, but out of her own will. To rebel against God represents authority is the same as to rebel against God himself. That's what I've been trying to get to. All work may be done in obedience. Eve was not only under God's authority, but she was under God's ordering under Adam's authority. Eve, seeing that it was good for food, ate the fruit without inquiring as to whom she was obeying. Isn't that something? Yet from the very beginning, God had ordered man to obey and not to be self-willed. Any action which lacks in obedience is a fall. I like that statement. And any act of disobedience is rebellion. See, that's a good definition. Because sometimes people, they confused about what rebellion is. Any act of disobedience. Somebody say, I'm not rebellious. We all have been rebellious one time or another. Be honest. You see it? If it wasn't outwardly, there's such thing as inward rebellion. You see, if it's not in action, sometimes it could be in thought. Rebellious thought. You see it? And you got to learn to deal with these rebellious thoughts before it become a rebellious action. Keep your thoughts clean. Keep your thoughts, I'm going to use this word, filtered. Be mindful who putting things in your ear gates. Because Satan take these things just like Satan did and put those things in Eve's ear gates. Now she had to deal with them and became the reason with them. And then somebody got the wise idea. Oh, apostles are controlling people. And you hear that, and you say, hey, it sure look like it to me. But he's only the true form of authority. And it's so people never seen authority in its proper form. You see it? They never seen it in its real shape and form. And so what they don't understand, they question. You see it? You see it? And so the problem is never let these things get in your ear gate. Somebody brings something to you, say, oh, hold that. Hold that. I don't want to get in my ear gate. And then you're protecting them because when they say something rebellious, guess what? They're going to be judged for it. Judgment always follows rebellion unless you repent. You see it? Repentance is the only way out of rebellion. But what that pride, you get stuck in that pride and you can't repent. Repent means to turn and go another direction. Repent means to stop, turn, and go in the opposite direction. And most people can't do it. No, they can't do it. You see it? And God knows true repentance. You can't fool God. And sometimes most people can't do it. Their pride won't let them. Rebellion is a serious matter. Sometimes it's people, life or death involved in rebellion, all right? And about to close, and I want you to finish reading this chapter, this chapter 2. And this last statement for the night. Hence, many work are done out of self and not in obedience to God. We're going to take up from there. Many works. People don't understand it.